Chapter 21. The something I decided to do was go and see our family friend and Levi's most popular lawyer, Jackson Connor. I deposited Mom and the sack of groceries in the kitchen of her house, then started back out the front door. "Where are you going, Darcy?" she asked. My mother meant well and truly was concerned for my safety. I had not told her about Burke Hopkins' warning, nor did I intend to. I believed in least said, soonest mended, or, in this case, least said, fewer explanations I would have to give my anxious parent. "I just want to think about a few things, Mom. No need to come with me. I may see someone I know downtown." This was basically true. "Do be careful, Darcy, although I'd feel a lot easier in my mind if I went with you." I ruffled her short curls. "My bodyguard. Thanks, Mom, but I'm sure I'll be fine." Gazing at me thoughtfully, she said, "I pray that you will be. Anyway, Grant said he thought when that Rusty Lang person died, that took care of any crazy person who wanted to hurt you." Hopefully, Mom would keep believing that, and perhaps she was right. But I was afraid that, until Andrea's disappearance was solved, the danger would exist. The sign read, "Jackson Connor, Attorney at Law." I maneuvered my car into an empty parking space and slid out of the leather seat. His office mirrored the character of Jackson Connor. The cedar paneling, brown leather sofa and chairs, and framed photographs of local places of interest exuded an aura of strength and stability. As I walked in, the aroma of cherry-flavored pipe tobacco met me. The scent was what I remembered most about Jackson Connor. His receptionist was not at her desk, and the attorney himself opened the inner office door. He came toward me, hand outstretched and smiling.
"Darcy Campbell, what a pleasant surprise on this gloomy old day. What can I do for you?"
"I'm not sure, Mr. Connor. Just a talk, I guess. Do you have time?"
"I've always got time for Flora Tucker's daughter. How is she?"
He gestured to the chair in front of his desk. I sat down and noticed he still had that comforting plaque on the wall. "If God brought you to it, he will take you through it." "My mother is fine, thanks. Her house suffered some damage in the last earthquake, but thankfully we are both all right. I guess you heard about the man found in our yard?"
"That I did. Also heard about your fright out at Spirit Leap."
Why should I be surprised at that? But I wondered who found it newsworthy enough to pass along to an attorney.
"I'm wondering, Darcy, if it has to do with the book you are planning on writing. Heard about that, too."
Grinning, I said, "One of the benefits of a small town is that we could do without modern means of communication. Levi's gossip is faster." In a courtroom, this man would be a formidable figure. His thick shock of white hair, handlebar mustache, and blue eyes that seemed to demand the truth and only the truth might have been the pattern God used when he made old-time straight-as-an-arrow lawyers. Jackson Connor would not appreciate my beating around the bush, so I came straight to the point. "What, if anything, have you heard about Andrea Worth's disappearance? Do you have any idea what could have happened to her? Did she leave under her own steam, or was there foul play? What do you think?" Jackson smiled and reached for his pipe that was on an ashtray in front of him. The pipe that reminded me of one I had seen in movies about a 19th century English sleuth.
"I do keep my ear to the ground, Darcy, but I'm not clairvoyant."
He lit his pipe and cleared his throat.
"However, you may not know this, but Andrea Worth was a client of mine. That is, I guess she would have been."
If I had been blessed with antenna, they would have quivered. "No, I didn't know. You see, Mr. Connor, Andrea's mother, Sophie Williams, wrote to Mom and me. She asked if we could help her reach a conclusion as to what happened to her daughter." He leaned back in his chair and drew on his pipe.
"That is indeed interesting.
Nobody knows about the letter except Sophie, Mom, a friend in the OSBI, and me. Even Grant Handley doesn't know. I'm hoping you keep this information to yourself.
Of course. I wonder, though, if it is wise for you to stir things up. There are some things going on in Levi that shouldn't be going on in a small town, nor in any town for that matter. You realize, I hope, that there are forces of evil in this old world, and when those forces feel threatened, they lash out. I'm afraid our sheriff and his deputies are hard-pressed to rid our town of some mighty foul goings-on.
Another warning, and another mention of evil. I remember that Grant said there's a drug problem. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes, that is what I am talking about. Illicit drugs are coming into Levi from somewhere, but where? That's what's keeping our sheriff and others in law enforcement awake nights. But getting back to Andrea, when she came to see me, she was a scared little thing. She came to me shortly before her disappearance. She wanted to talk to me about divorce.
I gulped. From Gary?
From Gary. I'm not betraying client-attorney privilege, Darcy, because my client is not here, and I fear she is dead. At any rate, I'm telling you this. She wanted to know about her many assets, how to keep Gary from getting half, since he had very little at the time of their marriage. This was her second marriage, you know, but she never did carry through. I figured she and Gary patched things up.
A smoke ring drifted lazily to the ceiling as I considered this. So Andrea wanted a divorce. If she died or disappeared, Gary would have control of all of Andrea's assets. This was certainly something to think about. But if she died, Charlene would have better grounds for demanding her right to Inglenook Ranch. And if Charlene married Tom Mott, Tom would at last have his hands on all that land. It looked like several people would profit from Andrea's death. I have the letter that Sophie wrote, I said, rummaging in my purse. I'd like for you to read it. As I pulled out the folded paper, a photocopy of the mysterious knife fell out onto Jackson Connor's desk. He picked up the letter, read it, and handed it back to me.
I see. So I guess you and Flora felt it was your duty to help this poor woman. What's this?
He picked up the knife picture and studied it. I found the knife at Spirit Leap the day after the first earthquake. I don't know how it got there or who may have dropped it. Have you ever seen a knife like that?
Oh, yes, it looks familiar. I just can't recall where I saw it yet. I will, though. Some letters on the side are missing. I'm guessing it was a logo for a business.
That's what I think, too. I've been planning to show it around town and ask if anyone can tell me about it, but with all the excitement from the earthquake, it slipped my mind or didn't seem that important.
Where is the actual knife?
Grant has it.
Then let him do the asking. I'm going to repeat, Darcy, that you must be very careful. Asking questions of the wrong people can be dangerous indeed.